Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the build-up show. It's a big one. It's a big Champions League night at Anfield, looming on Wednesday. Liverpool, Real Madrid with a two-goal deficit to overturn. I'm sure the Reds will go as full strength as possible for this game, and so we have done exactly the same. It is myself and Chris Pajak in the studio. We've got Callum Sanderson from Team Coppish, and we've got John Machen as well joining us for this one. Chris, here we are. Ooh. Once again, Liverpool Anfield needing to do something, needing to generate some sort of mad heroic moment. If you're new to Liverpool, welcome. This is what we do.
This is what Liverpool do. And unfortunately, this time we're not going to have fans in the stadium. I imagine there's going to be a large group of fans outside the stadium at some point during the day as well. So hopefully that, if that happens, then hopefully the Liverpool players can get a little bit of a lift and stuff from that. The big one is, you know, Anfield atmosphere. We've been saying for years that it is a thing. Fans of other clubs have been saying that it isn't. We need to hope that they're right on this occasion.
Yeah. I've never wanted rival fans to be right more about something.
Exactly, but this time, you know, we need to be able to do it for the lads, and they'll know that we obviously want it and everything else, but they need to want it. They need to want it, and they need to have the skill set to go and rectify the mistakes that were made last week, because the game plan for Real Madrid, Paul, is going to be exactly the same.
I completely agree on that. And this is the point about this, Callum. You know, we talk about the no Anfield atmosphere, not having the fans. We know it's big. It doesn't even need saying. But, you know, Real Madrid didn't need fans, you know, didn't even need an actual stadium last week. You know, Liverpool psychologically have got to put themselves in the mindset of it's a game of football, it's a team that they're going up against. The conditions are going to be level in that regard. And you need to treat it as nil-nil almost and just go and try and beat Real Madrid.
Yeah, agreed. I think what gives me hope going into this game is that 15-minute spell in the second half against Real Madrid in the first leg, where we just came out and said, to hell with this, we're going to go and attack these lot. And we scored, and we looked dominant. Now, granted, there was obviously the three goals we conceded, which obviously more than balances that out. But I do genuinely believe that if we go into it with the correct mindset, I'm not saying we're going to get through, but we are going to give a very, very good account of ourselves to show that we are still a top European team.
I think that's a spot on point. We actually had a super chat from Philippe Hunt saying, tough game, lads. Definitely the odds against us, but we can't give up. I'd rather us lose fighting to the very end than not trying at all. And that's the point, isn't it, with this, Dad, is our only expectation here, we can't expect to go through because it's so very unlikely, really, just on the balance of things. All I think we can expect is this team goes and does just be better than we were in that first half, because we were abysmal. We were abysmal in the first 45 minutes against Madrid. I just want to see a bunch of Liverpool players go out there and give it all, really.
Well, I'll be astonished if they don't, to be honest, after that. And I don't think Klopp was very happy with them, was he? And I think he let them know. So I do expect them to be on top of their game. I mean, that may still not be enough. I mean, we know we're vulnerable to long balls over the top and we can't do anything about that because we've got to attack.
Yeah.
Or at least we can't, sit back or whatever. We've just got to go forward. I mean, the possibility is you sort of micromanage it and just stop Toni Kroos from getting the ball in space. Sit on him. And maybe the same with Casemiro, just to stop the danger, but keep on going, hemming them in and just putting them under pressure and keep that going.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not impossible. As I said last time out after the game, we've often been in this situation and we've always struggled because scoring two goals against a team who can just sit there is really difficult because we're talking about, you know, top-class players. Even though they had their second-string centre-backs out, they were still brilliant.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be difficult, but you've just got to have hope and keep going.
Yeah, and this is it.
As Callum said, win the game and then see where you are.
Exactly. Chris, is that you've got to somehow get into the players' heads that you're not 2-0 down. Because I think if you're chasing two goals, I think you potentially put yourself into a bit of bother. And that's why so many teams fail to overcome these kind of deficits. But if you looked at it in isolation and said, you've got to beat Real Madrid 2-0 at Anfield to get through, you'd be like, okay. Well, you know what I mean? Not, you know, just to get us back, you know, whatever. This is the point, is that it is two because the away goals. But the point is, 2-0 is a perfectly attainable result. But there's so many other psychological factors that there has to be a little bit of blinkers in what we're doing here.
Let's start it off. If you turn around to me and go, this Liverpool squad, they've got to beat Real Madrid to 2-0 to go through. I'm like, of course they can. But this Liverpool squad is also the Liverpool squad that's just lost 3-1 to them. And that's the mental hurdle that they have to get over.
Yeah.
Real Madrid do what Real Madrid do. And what they did so brilliantly against us last time is they just drew a line down the pitch and went, you four, you go that way. You 6-7, you go that way and you deal with it. And they're the lads who are going to attack and you're going to sit back. And they split the team beautifully last time and they were just knocking those long balls over the top. That's the difficult thing is maybe it wasn't even 7 that they kept back. Maybe it was 6-5. Mm-hmm. Now they can afford to go 7-4 if they wanted to.
Yeah.
That's the difficulty that Liverpool have right now is that you have to overcommit, I think, to be able to break them down. But you don't have to overcommit early in the game. You can feel the game out a little bit. There's still time, you know. We know from our own experiences, Barcelona, how just get one goal and one goal changes the tie. Because if we can get that first goal, then they're nervous because then they've got something to lose.
Yeah, it's such a tricky balancing act to have because, you know, we're talking about this, like, keep our cool, keep our composure. You know, we've been in 12 times in Liverpool's history, we've been in a situation where we're trying to overturn a deficit of more than two goals or more. Only twice have we ever managed to do it.
Is that two-legged only?
Why?
Is Istanbul count?
Yeah, two legs, overturning that result from a previous leg. The point of this is that the times that we've done it, start fast, get that early goal. Now, of course, this is where it's completely uncharted territory because if you start fast, you get an early goal. Think about Barcelona. Think about Henderson breaking through, Origi sticking it in, and all of a sudden, all your talk and your hopes and your expectations, it is on from the minute you stick that in, and they are going. They've had their lead has been cut immediately before they've even got themselves set, and you've got the fans up. Now you've got to engineer that without the fans. I don't know that it hurts Real Madrid's mentality to concede early, so it could be this game could require a completely different approach. It might require 95 minutes of grind as opposed to us coming in, because my instincts is you need these goals. I think if we're going to do it, you need the goals in the first half an hour. And that gives you an opportunity then. If they then get one back, you've got more time to continue to go deep.
I think it's easier if you get the goals in the first half an hour, but I don't think it matters. I think as soon as you score that first goal, whenever that be, whether that be 60 minutes or the first minute, that changes everything for them because they can lose if they concede one. Mm-hmm. And that's when teams start to really make mental mistakes, make physical mistakes and all that type of stuff as well. So it doesn't matter when, for me anyway, when you score it. I'd rather we did it in the first half. I'd rather we did it early on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen so many teams collapse when they've conceded a goal and there's just one more. I don't know what it is. I think it's the away goals rule. I think it just batters teams' heads.
Yeah, there's lads with like got the fingers, they got abacus tucked into the socks trying to work out what it means. 440 players not working. Go on, Tom.
On that point, why don't we scrap our normal kickoff, have Trent behind Thiago? Thiago passes straight to Trent and he shoots away in the first second. Even if he doesn't score, it frightened the life out of them. Right? If you get their goalie jittery, That's a good thing, isn't it?
This is the game where you want to be trying all of like your movie techniques. So you go your Mighty Ducks flying V, and you've got all these like, you know, mad plays that you only pull out
the long throwing that we've been waiting for two and a half years.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it takes, just bring them out. Just unsettle them in a lot of ways. Everyone wear their shirts backwards. You know what I mean?
They already do.
They already do, yeah.
Can't tell from the collar. Ethan with the super chat here saying, we showed that Real midfield too much respect. Yeah. One of the things against Barca we did was we were a bunch of pricks. We didn't care who they were. And that's a great point, isn't it, Callum? Is that, you know, I don't know whether we've got the, without Jordan Henderson, I don't know that we've got this in our midfield, which is a slight concern. But I agree. In this environment, you've got to pretend, you know, you've got to pretend you can hear the Anfield atmosphere. You've got to go flying in. You've got to let them know, these lads know they're doing for a game. And it won't be the first time it's happened to them. But, you know, let's be honest, when you get, you know, we need to unsettle them as much as possible.
Yeah, I agree. Even, and again, Henderson is a big miss, as you just said, because he is the guy to do that. However, I do think we've got players like Robbo, and Fabinho does that as well. I don't think Fabinho's as vocal as Hendo. But if there's a ball there, there's a 50-50 with, say, Toni Kroos or Modric, I put the house on Fabinho. I think he's going to tear through someone, and that will just stamp that authority on the game and said, you guys wanted this, now you guys have got it. And I don't know if you guys are big MMA fans, but this kind of reminds me of when Ngannou fought Stipe the first time. Like, we went into it super confident last game. Yeah, we're going to smash these lot. Can't do anything to us. And we got humbled. He's regrouped. He come back and he knocked him out. I'm hoping this is going to be us on Wednesday.
That's so mad, because that's the exact example that I used after the first leg, isn't it? The Stipe Miocic second one.
Probably.
You switched off, you glazed over, you knew it was UFC that I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the match that I was talking about. It's the fact that, like, Stipe absolutely mullered him the first time around, and Ngannou came back a different fighter a few years later. That's what I wanted Liverpool to do. In fact, it was before. It was in the build-up. Yeah. I wanted Liverpool to do that after the Champions League final, didn't I? That's so mad, that, Carl. That's a great reference there, mate.
Clearly a perfect analogy for it, apparently. Must be because two of you have done it. There's an interesting point about this, is that we know what we've got, a clear idea of them now, and the same will be true vice versa as well. We know that Lucas Vazquez is out from this game, which is obviously a big loss for them. He actually set up the first goal at the weekend against Barcelona as well. And I don't know, you know, particularly someone like Sadio Mane, because we've been talking about him on the Final Word show. We've had a lot of Sadio Mane chats of late, and I just wonder whether there's something to that now. They've had a look at what Real Madrid have got. And there's a weird thing where, and I'm not saying this is true, because I don't know what elite sports people do this, but there is, on paper, Ramos and Varane, you know what you're coming up against. You're coming up against one of the challenges of your life. And when you find out that maybe you're playing lads with a second string or whatever, I don't know, sometimes you find where people don't necessarily go as all in, or you find some more super heroic performances being put in. We know we've got a much clearer idea of what we're coming up against, and you know what the challenge is facing them. I would, to the point that made by people, whether it's Mane, Firmino, Salah, Jota, or whatever, there should be nothing less here than them giving absolutely every egg of energy in this
game. Of course, and look, I personally, look, I know we're going to talk about how we want to line up and stuff later, but a change of formation's what we need here, because I think we need, as John mentioned, we need someone to be able to get onto Cruz's toes or Modric's toes, and maybe an extra body in the middle of the park might be able to facilitate that in a slightly different position than our normal eights.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's massively important, Paul.
The thing to take from this, Dad, obviously, as mentioned there, Real Madrid beat Barcelona 2-1 at the weekend to go a point behind Atletico in the title race. Big, big game, big exertion of that match. It was, you know, it could have gone either way at the end, the amount of chances that kind of went for the game. You know, absolute torrential rain, it would have been a heavy pitch, etc., etc., etc. The point is that you're hoping that as much as psychologically Real Madrid are prepared. Yeah. Well, they're preparing their story about how they've, you know, they're dragging themselves back into the Champions League, you know, into Champions League chances, and they've got a title to win. But we've got to hope that we can undercut that and bring it down to the core of it, when hopefully they are tired.
Yeah, I mean, the key is to make them unsettled. You just don't make them, stop them being comfortable at any time. I mean, they're too often in that first half in Madrid, they could do what they wanted.
Yeah.
They must have thought this is easy. And it, if we can unsettle them as early as possible and stop them getting out, you know, and keep them under pressure, then we just increase our chances of winning the game, you know, immeasurably.
Yeah.
How Klopp sets up, I don't know. I mean, I'm personally not sure what he can do. I mean, Chris said, you know, make sure there's someone extra in midfield. Maybe that is it. But as long as we keep them hemmed in for as long as possible, then, you know, I think that'll do the job.
Absolutely. Well, we'll talk about that. We will postulate what we do to get in their faces as much as possible after the very short break. But we've got a trivia question to tide you over. Until then, who are the only other team, apart from Barcelona, that we have beaten, overturning a 2-goal or more deficit? And I'll give you marks as well if you can name Liverpool's 3-goal scorers that night as well. Back in a sec.
There are days you remember for the rest of your life.
The setting couldn't have been much better.
Even now I'm talking about it, my face hurts.
I struggle to think of a better hour I've ever had.
Pride really was the kind of overwhelming emotion.
Dream come true, 100%.
Our city, what it's about, music, culture and football, that's about it.
I felt like the luckiest lads in the world, you know what I mean? Like, what rights have I got to be there doing that?
We're still buzzing that the Liverpool fans have got the flag for Sean Cox. And we're still buzzing that they came over to us. And we're still buzzing that we're in the Champions League final. And I'm thinking, this is it. This is one of the best nights of my life of supporting a football team. And then all of a sudden, this beautiful man with big fucking rims on and a Liverpool tracky top comes belting out of wherever he came running out from. And there's this, like, collective, oh, it's Klopp!
Hey everyone, welcome back. Yes, you can check out our Champions League documentaries to get yourself in the mood for Wednesday. We've got a whole bank of them over there streaming right now on the redmentv.com. So if you need a little pick-me-up to remind yourself of the good times, I nearly went full on into Chumbawamba there, but I'm gonna refrain myself for now. But yeah, go over there, say, sign up now to the redmentv.com and get access to our Liverpool streaming service. There's also an incredible competition if you want to join at Club Legend level, which we'll give you some more details at the end of the video. So the question was, obviously we've 12 times we've had a 2 or more goal first leg deficit to overturn. Only twice have we done it. One of them was Barcelona. The other team was anyone? We've had some interesting shouts. The year, in fact, I'll tell you who it wasn't before, just to draw this out for a minute. We had a 5-1 deficit against Ajax in 66. We had a 2-goal deficit against Forest in 78. Widzew Łódź in 83. And the answer was Auxerre, okay. 1991. Yeah. Yeah, we were 2 goals down and we beat them 3-0 at Anfield to come back in that one. And then, you know, since then, Genoa in 92 didn't do it. Spartak Moscow in 92. Paris Saint-Germain, that would have been the Cup Winners' Cup. It was 3-0 we had to overturn. Yeah. Strasbourg Celta Vigo, Chelsea in 2009, Zenit St. Petersburg in 2013, and then Barcelona in 2019, which we did.
So it sounds like you just need them to be a really good side to be able to overturn them.
Yeah.
How are Auxerre in the French league in there about that time?
No idea.
Yeah,
probably.
Let's just say they were top, yeah?
Yeah.
Rubbish, John. Come on. John.
Yeah, interesting note on that. So the three goals for Liverpool, I won't ask you this because it is a tricky one.
Rosenthal.
No. Jan Molby penalty in the 4th minute. Mike Marsh got the 2nd in the 29th. And in the 83rd to seal the win, Mark Walters. Interesting, Liverpool only named 4 substitutes on the day because of injuries, 2 of whom I'd never heard of in my entire life. One was Robbie Holdcroft and the other was Barry Jones. No idea. I think they might have pulled him out of the stands. If you watch this, that might be a real offence, but no, never heard of Steve McManaman was bossing that game.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, sound, yeah. The question then is, Chris Pajak, has Bobby Firmino done enough to earn his place in the starting 11 this week?
Well, the answer to that is yes, and I'd follow that question up with, has Mane done enough to deserve his place in the starting 11 this week? And the answer to that is no, but I'm still giving him a starting place. I'm playing all 4 of them.
Yeah,
I'm playing Bobby in the 10, and here's the lad that it's not an extra midfielder, but it's a lad who's going to be very, very close to Cruz or Modric, and that's what's got to change for me. And take your pick about who goes elsewhere, maybe Mane in the 9 or Jota in the 9. I'd probably prefer Jota in the 9. And I'm looking at Fabinho and Wijnaldum probably, with the option of then giving yourself a little bit of something to go to if you need to bring Thiago on to move it further forward. But yeah, for me, I think it's massively important. Interested to hear what everybody else thinks about getting someone around Tony Cruz.
It's really interesting because I'm totally bought in on this idea to a certain extent anyway, Callum. But the problem with the putting all 4 is it does lead that question of the who are the two. And I mean, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people who won't be unhappy, you know, to have a midfield of Wijnaldum and Fabinho, of course. There'll be plenty thinking, well, what was the point of keeping Thiago back if he's not going to start in this game? But that's the beauty of, I think, of how we've managed these couple of games, is that we do have the ability to spring a surprise there. It would be surprising for Thiago not to start. It would be surprising for Bobby to start in a 10 in this game. And that actually is something that we're talking about unsettling them, could well work in our favour.
Yeah, very true. I get your logic on why you go with Wijnaldum, Chris. I just think, I know it's a big risk because I think Wijnaldum is more of a safe player and he's better defensively, but Thiago, he can just break lines, and him passing to Bobby could just open up different types of space we haven't seen in a long time. And I think you're absolutely spot on. I think Bobby has to play in the 10, and attacking-wise, you need them to do what they do. But as soon as Real Madrid have the ball, I don't want Bobby doing anything else apart from looking where Toni Kroos is and standing on his toes and saying, you're not passing this ball and you're not receiving it. And just shut him out of the game. I think you shut him out of the game, Real Madrid cannot control the game and we dominate them.
There's a lot of, it's going to take a lot of bottle from the manager here, won't it, Dad? Because I think there's a reasonable case to be made that if you just went with the normal 4-3-3, but you've got Bobby in between, we'd have a much better fist of it regardless. But there is definitely something to the point I was making earlier about going in, blitzkrieg, the lightning war, just, you know, throwing everything at them in the first 15, 20 minutes and seeing what happens. You might get blown away, but you might well crack it wide open.
Yeah, and it's tricky to know how to deal with it. I mean, there's probably as many opinions as there, you know, as anything. But I can't imagine going into the game without Thiago again. I just don't see that at all. And personally, I would keep Jota as an impact sub for the last half an hour, and have him and maybe Curtis Jones ready to come on and make a difference. Mm-hmm. Mane, I think you've got to take a chance on him. He's not firing all cylinders, but he really does take up defenders' minds, you know.
Yeah.
But you can't just leave him. You've got to devote some time to him. And they're now going to be playing their third choice right back. So, you know, I think Mane could cause them all sorts of damage.
It's so tricky, isn't it? Because I think that's just as valid a point as any, that
I do think Bobby should sit on Kroos, though. I really think that's a...
And the thing is, he can do that. He can do that in 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3. And he was very deep, wasn't he, at the weekend, Chris? So you could see him just as easily doing that. And you just sort of, you know, maybe you bring the wingers in a little bit more narrow or whatever. But there's two schools of thought, isn't there, I think? And there's probably loads more. But let's just oversimplify it. You go with all four from the start and you absolutely go for it. Or you do, as said, you keep Jota in reserve and maybe Thiago in reserve. In addition to, I should say, Thiago in reserve. So you've got another... Even if you don't start them, your team's more than capable of doing the business regardless. And then you have got something else to go to as well.
Yeah. I think the difficulty Klopp's going to have here is that balance between being able to push your team on, nullifying their threats, but keeping the back door shut. That's the difficulty. And, you know, I tossed and turned about whether, you know, I'd rather see Wijnaldum or Thiago in the centre. And I thought to myself, well, where did Real Madrid hurt us last week? You know, it was behind Trent Alexander-Arnold and it was behind Andy Robertson. So I've gone with the two centre midfielders that I think provide the best level of cover for those two, because I think that Robbo and Trent will be just as key as any of the forward players if we're to win this game by two goals.
Yeah.
So you've got to give them a platform for me to go and showcase what they can do, what they can bring to the table. And then you're into personal preference a lot of the time about how you like to set a team up with something in reserve. You've always liked to do that whenever we've spoken about footy. You've always liked to keep somebody back, or, you know, somebody else might think, let's just blow them out the water right now and doesn't matter. Maybe you just need defenders on the bench because that's all we're going to do. We're going to blow them out the water. I'll leave that for everybody else. I don't know if there's a right or a wrong way. I don't think there ever has been a right or a wrong way to set your team up with a bench like that. I think the most important thing is to set your team up the 11 versus 11. That's the most important thing. The bench will be what the bench will be.
You've got to, I think the good point is, because we've said this for a while, is if you put your best four attackers on from the start, where do you go from there if you need to go up a gear? But also, it's a do or die Champions League game. I mean, as you saw Shaqiri come off the bench, you actually saw it the other week as well. I think by that point, you're entering into madness territory where you can just do a load of crazy shit. I don't think it really matters. I think you're keeping all four on the pitch for the full length. I don't think it matters too much. But again, I don't know. And this is where Klopp's mentality is, because a goal for Real Madrid end it. If we don't get on the score sheet first and foremost, if you're chasing it but you've lost your away goal advantage, like, I'm not sure you'd overcome.
It depends.
I disagree.
Oh, go on, Cal.
So I think even if we're 2-0 up, I think everyone's saying, yeah, let's win this game by 2-0, but Real Madrid only need one, and 2-0 is still not going to be enough. I do think, I know it's going to sound a bit crazy, I think we have to chase three in this game.
Yeah.
And that even still only takes the extra time. I think we have to chase three because, let's say, for example, we do the unthinkable. We go 2-0 up with 60 minutes to go. And what do we do next? Is it stick or twist? Because if Real Madrid get a goal, then we need one to take the extra time, two to win it. Whereas if we're still 2-0 up, I think we have to go for that third. I don't think we have to be reckless, but I think we have to go for that third still.
Yeah. But there is a point as well.
The point is that you, at any time in the 90 minutes or 95, Real Madrid can score a goal and scupper everything. You've got to defend well for the whole game. And Callum's right. If you can get 2-0 up, then don't settle for it. Go for more. But, you know, I think it would be wrong to go out thinking we've got to score this many goals. I think you go out and win the game, you know, and make sure they don't score as well. So,
well, we saw it with Atletico last season, didn't we? Was that, you know, again, you can be undone at a moment's notice. I mean, again, and this is where Klopp's going to earn the big bucks here, because, you know, I think you've got to go and strike hard, you've got to go and strike fast, and you've got to go and get it up. But there is also a thing of, what does he feel is the best approach to get into 2-0? And is that to go everyone from the start? Because I can foresee a situation where I don't think when you've got to 2, you necessarily then need to keep your foot to the floor. I think if you get to 2, that's when you pull off for 15 minutes and then you wait to see what Real Madrid do, because that's the situation where you've wrested control back of the football match. And does that then open up a Liverpool on the counter-attacking kind of situation?
I agree with Johnny. I don't think Jürgen plans for how do you get to 2-0. I think because think about, put it in the context of an ordinary season. You don't pick a scoreline and aim for it. Mm-hmm. You coach to win the game.
Yeah.
You can't just coach completely differently just because of one game a year you might need to get to 2-0. I just don't think that happens. I think the first and foremost is you win the game. You coach them to give, you put them in the best position to win the game. You score the goals or you don't score the goals. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look back at what Klopp said in previous two-legged ties, from what he said, I think you'll probably find that that's the way that he kind of thinks. It's just about winning the game.
Yeah.
And if you get the goals, you get the goals.
The play, I mean, you're right. There's no way him and Pep Linders having a little chat going, here's what we need. Here's what we need. How do we set up to best provide that for us? But the drive is provided by the lads on the pitch. You know, they're the ones who push that little bit harder, go that little bit faster, get a toe in ahead of things. It's whether they buy into the mentality of what they're going for or not. And that's where, again, it's going to be won or lost, because, yeah, I think if we throw everything at it, this is the danger. This is what I'm talking about, the balancing act. If you come out with a big flurry and you don't, then how do you pick yourself back up when you've just gone for 15, 20 minutes and you've swung everything at them? But
Klopp earns the big buck.
I don't think you can live that way. I don't think you can live in that fear. You've got to believe that your biggest punches are going to knock out your opponents.
Yeah.
So they will go for it. But again, it's literally like being
a fighter as well. You think that you give them the hardest punch and they don't go down. You tell yourself, I didn't connect properly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
That's how every elite athlete thinks. It's how they got to where they are. It's the ego that gets them there. Yeah. And then if you get to half-time and you've literally thrown the kitchen sink at them, then you're relying on your manager to come into the dressing room and go, here's an opportunity, here's what you missed, and then that G's you up, right, we can still do this.
Yeah, the only other thing, again, it depends on what we do. I think we need energy. If we're going to play 4-3-3, I think we need something else. I don't know what we need to make that midfield three ideal. You know, I think it's nailed on, if it is anything, that to be Fabinho, Thiago, Wijnaldum. It's a shame about Curtis Jones, because obviously we know he missed the game at the weekend with a small fitness issue. I would be really tempted to play Kurt Jones in this game if he was fit, just because I think he's that lad who he wants to drive through the middle of the pitch. You know, if we had Ox from even last year, I'd be looking for Ox in this kind of game. It's what Jordan Henderson brought to the Barcelona game. I think we might be lacking if in a midfield three.
Yeah, I think that's a big call to make. I mean, I think if you're thinking of putting an attacking side on the pitch, then Curtis Jones is in it all day long. I just don't know whether... I mean, you remember all the times that he played Jimmy Milner, Henderson and Wijnaldum. in games. We all thought, what the hell is he doing? But he likes that steadiness in a game.
Yeah.
And for me, there's also an argument for playing steady to begin with and getting a control of the game and then bringing on people like Curtis and, mm-hmm. and Jota, or if he's on the bench, and, you know, and then Shaqiri to try and change things up later on in the game.
The thing is, that's well and good, and I agree, you know, I think historically, but I think I wonder whether the starting Keita gives an insight, and do they still feel that what Keita was meant to do is still answer?
Certainly Klopp thought we could win that game in Madrid. That's why he played Keita. Now we've got the away goal fear is the big problem for us. We've got to make sure we try and stop that from happening. Because as Callum said, they score and more or less it's over. So, you know, it's a different kind of ball game than the away leg.
Yeah,
that's going to be away goals.
Yeah, that's going to be it, isn't it? Isn't it, Chris? I think your solution. I think playing Bobby in the 10. I think that feels like the right fit for me, because at the moment, I think, look, Thiago can do it, but I don't see. I mean, look, Thiago nearly scores an absolute worldie at the weekend, arriving in the box. I think it's a shame that we haven't got two James Milners, because I would love a James Milner for this game, you know, just if nothing else, like, or obviously a Jordan Henderson. And it is whether that Klopp feels that it's like, God, I mean, it's what mad shouts, having hauled Naby and then not playing him with the weekend, like Naby Keita comes back in with one more chance to redeem himself. Like, I don't know, you know, does make you wonder whether they feel that the team, their game plan was right, but it fell down on the individual execution, and whether they just go again with their plan. But
I think the game plan was right. I think Real Madrid didn't play the way that we expected them to. That's why the game plan didn't work. Not because of Naby Keita's performance.
That, and we couldn't pass to our own players.
Yeah, there's a big part of that, don't get me wrong. But Madrid's midfield weren't in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And then what are you telling Naby to do? Go and stand next to the forwards? Because that's not part and parcel of what a midfield three does for Liverpool Football Club. Mm. So for me, that's where it came down to. And if they're not going to engage us in the centre of the park, and they're going to drop off and they're going to spray balls from 30 yards away from the centre circle, then that's where you have the problem, which is why I think it's the forward. So whether it's Bobby Firmino from the 10 or whether it's him in the false nine, he's now his job.
Yeah.
His job is that midfielder, regardless.
I'm here for Bobby Firmino coming from behind Toni Kroos, like he always does. Yeah, little jump in front, knock around the corner. I am waiting almost as much as for a goal of that moment for Bobby to go and pick Toni Kroos's pocket, because it was so desperately lacking from how we played last week. Well, one really interesting mad shout here from Hamza 1996 with the super chat, saying, don't be surprised if Fabinho was centre back with Kabach so Klopp could fit everyone in. I don't think so, but we've also seen Fabinho end up at centre half the last two games, coming on, you know, with Kabach being taken off. It would be a shock.
Even though you've told me, I'd still be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a desperate measure at the end of the game if you need it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay. Right. Let's have some score predictions, Chris Pajak.
Okay. 2-0 to Liverpool Football Club.
Oh, Callum.
I'm going to go 2-1 Liverpool.
Yeah, go on, Dad.
3-1 in 90 minutes.
Okay, wow.
Can you finish that prediction, John, and let me tell you what's happening at the end of the game?
You'll have to wait for part two to get the rest.
It's behind the paywall on the website.
I must admit, I think back to like PSG and the Cup Winners' Cup and stuff, and we gave it a really good go. My overall fear with this is I think we'll go and give it a good go. I just don't know that we've got enough to do what it takes. It's going to be a hard... I don't think we're going to win this like Barcelona style. Mm. If we do it, it's either going to be, as you say there, it'll be 2-0 and it'll be a bit Chelsea with like... balls flashing past the goal. And there's no way Alisson, if we get through here, Alisson will have had a worldie and Bobby Firmino will have had a worldie, I think. Yeah. I think that's the only way we see ourselves through this game. And we'll have had a massive slice of luck potentially along the way as well. But no, I feel in Callum's one where a good showing, but maybe just not quite enough. But I hope I'm wrong. I want to see this team prove itself, prove that it doesn't need the fans. Because if it can do it without the fans, fuck me, imagine what happens when we get the fans back again. Is my real hope on this. But yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
What are the like rules about pumping in noise into the stadium?
Well, I've had a few of these suggestions in the comments of like WWE style of like, you know, yeah, get fans to like call in so you've got their noise from home.
Don't just want loud kind of noises.
Stuff. Oh, just like random.
Why don't
horns when they have the ball? I want them to be scared.
You'll never walk alone on a loop throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
But
I know in
the NFL they had a decibel level that they could go up to, like an absolute peak. You know what I mean? Like, do they have that in England? Could we just literally just have someone on the side with a frigging horn every time they're about to control the ball? Cruz has got it.
Can we do Operation Anfield every single time that they're everywhere? Bing bong. Stand by, Operation Anfield. Benzema's like, oh God, what was that? Yeah, whatever it takes. I don't know that from what I'm aware, there are no plans for anything organised prior to the game. I do know that people are allowed in beer gardens, so I know that all the pubs that have beer gardens around Anfield will be chocker. I know most of them are sold out at this point and what have you. So it wouldn't shock me if Liverpool could do something around it. There'll be a party on the streets if we manage to do something. But yeah, hopefully we just hope. That's where we're at. You know, we've had 2 years of being a controlled, measured football team that then when they get luck that they've generated, we might just need to go back to being a team that just needs some random luck. And hopefully we're due it. We've had plenty of misfortune over the last sort of year, so let's hope it is all. Everyone get your karma straight is what I'm saying. So you know what? Do all your jobs, help your mum, do whatever you need, you know what I mean? Tidy your bedrooms and help people across the streets while maintaining social distancing and all those kind of things. And yeah, hopefully it'll be enough to see Liverpool over the line against Real Madrid and into the semi-finals. Yes, if you believe it's possible, drop a like on this video. If you need more content to keep you pumped up in advance of that game, do go and try us out over on the RedmenTV.com, a little Liverpool streaming service, loads of documentaries, as mentioned and shown to you earlier on. Champions League ones are absolutely phenomenal, but there's a bunch of exclusive interviews, features and series to keep you entertained in the meantime. So yes, go and check it out. Gents, thank you so much for joining us. Chris, thank you for parachuting in for this one. Do go and check out Team Coppish as well for more of Callum. And yes, we will be back with a watch along on game night itself. Hope to see us all over there. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.